guys. Welcome to Puck Off. Look who's back, Johnny Bench.
Johnny Bench is behind the controls.
Yeah,
always
man.
Good to see.
Making it happen.
Making it happen.
Last week we had a low volume. People had to really get close to their...
No, I think they figured... I think just it was sitting here, I thought it was a little low.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I was just... impending doom of game seven.
Well, I think you might have been. Oh, wow.
Thank you, though, for standing up for my Penguins.
You know, I stuck. I picked him, man.
I knew it was Ross Sewage.
Well, it was tough to get by King Henry.
Yeah, you can't leave it up to that. You're up 3-1. And then, well, you know, now the beheading. It's like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But we kept Disco. So we'll get into that. Because we have a great guest who's actually
still
competing.
Yes.
Yeah, man. He can still actually get out there.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Well, let's introduce him.
Yeah.
Joe. Sure.
Hi, I'm Joe Kilgallen.
Yes.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
A Blackhawk fan.
I am a diehard
Chicago
Blackhawks fan.
Diehard, so he's happy today.
Well, here's the thing. I'm wearing my 2013 Stanley Cup championship
That's a
hat.
Cool hat, man.
It's a cool hat, right?
Yeah, yeah. But you're offsetting
wearing
it, though, with
yes, exactly. That's what I thought about walking in here. I'm like, I'm offsetting it with a Cubs shirt. So if there are any hardcore Kings fans walking around and they want to tell me, you know, to fuck off or whatever, they'll see this and then realize, oh, he's kind of cute.
Yeah, right?
It's a little
kind of
adorable.
Right?
Everyone, how do you hate that Cub?
How do you hate the Cubs?
Yeah. No, it's picking on a retarded kid.
It really is. Yeah, it is.
Kind of.
Yeah.
You can't make fun of them. It's just because it's sad.
Yeah.
But they get the best ballpark.
Yeah, it's great.
And always will.
It's great. The amenities aren't so hot, but it's still old-time baseball.
Number one park.
It is a great park.
Yeah. Well, you know, you must be happy about the outcome of yesterday's game, although you probably had some moments there where that goal got disallowed where you're a little upset.
Yeah, I was freaking out a little bit when it first happened because I know and then the Kings tied it. So right there, you just know the momentum switch is so huge in playoff hockey.
Yeah.
Like any little bounce of the puck and you're like panicked. You know, your sack tightens up the next period as you're watching it. And I was freaking out, which caused my dog to freak out. And then I couldn't hear the volume. And then I was trying to figure out what happened.
But it's a chain reaction.
It's a chain reaction. And I, Joe, we talked about this a little bit before the show started, that I thought it wasn't the call on the ice. That's the thing that kind of bothered me. It feels like if you're going to review the play, what should they expanded the review and being
did
like,
did they
oh,
call
we all...
it a goal? They called
I don't
it a goal?
Think they did. I think they just saw the interference as they were reviewing whether or not it was a goal, and then they decided to call the interference, which is kind of bullshit.
I was watching it. It was a great afternoon with our last week's guest, John Caponera.
Oh, man.
He's a great house.
He's a big Hawk fan, too.
Great new television, great pool. And so we had the game on TV. We enjoyed the hell of the game. But it's always weird because, you know, of course, he's super Blackhawk. He's Mr. Blackhawk.
Mr. Blackhawk.
So I'm watching it, and I want the Kings to win. But, it's all good. Whatever. I just want to see good hockey.
Yeah.
I hate seeing someone get screwed. Like, no matter what, I don't want – and I just thought it was if they would have called it on the ice, I agreed with the call of goal interference. Because – I mean, he's like, oh, you know, Cap, like, it only happens when he runs him through the net, and I didn't see the net get knocked, and the guy's not in an ambulance. He shouldn't
well,
have
now what?
But he impeded him. I don't think Quick saw the puck. He wasn't going to make the save anyway.
Yes.
But he did impede him if he wanted
to. You know, I felt that
from
way.
Making the,
I felt
from
that ma- way. And
from
I think,
making the save.
I'm such a big Taze. That guy's awesome.
Yeah, we blow Taze constantly.
And you know what else?
As he should be blown.
You know what else? He's a clean player, too.
Yes.
I mean, that guy's he's a class act all the way around. So it wasn't intentional. But I think it did impede him.
Yeah.
I don't know what the ruling is. So what is the rule on that?
It's basically like you can't impede the goalie from making a save.
Yeah, technically
it's
impeding, but they rarely
impeded him. But
it usually has to be a lot worse than that for it to get called, typically in the playoffs, too. I mean, he does make contact with him and he impedes him. But the thing is, if Quick made the save, they're not calling goalie interference on it. Well, obviously, they wouldn't. That's not the call anyway. But it just feels like he tried to jump over him. He tried to get out of the way.
Yeah.
He got bumped. There was, you know, there was traffic in front of the net. I just think if that's not the call originally, you can't review it and then make
so
that the
he
call.
Got bumped in there, though, huh?
Yeah.
He did, yeah.
He
I think did. It was so, wasn't.
He got a little bit pushed. He definitely jumped, but he jumped to avoid him. He wasn't a malicious play. My problem was the guy on the ice didn't call it that way. So I don't want the guy in Toronto calling that call.
Yeah.
That was kind of my – that was kind of – I mean, to me the worst call was Martinez with his little push just exploded bowling. That was pretty much a dive. Like he could have sent both of them off. I mean,
he
pushed him, but that was – because literally when I saw it, the first time I saw it, I was like, God damn, I didn't know that guy was that strong. Like, you know, like,
I mean, Brandon Bolick's a big boy.
That's what I mean. Bolick, yeah. Bolick doesn't go down easy.
That was a LeBron James style.
There's a little
flop.
Flopping in there. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if it was Patrick Sharp that went like down like that, sure. Or, you know, and the thing is, too, is like, I mean, if it was Carcillo, I'd be like, well, exactly, because he's Carcillo. He'll do that.
Yeah.
Bolick, I always respected. So that's even more why I didn't think it was a flop. I'm just like, Jesus, he knocked him good. And he's the second time.
Bolick's not the strongest skater, so maybe he really did fall.
Well, that could be. Yeah. Sometimes it's that. But, you know, you must have gotten a little bit nervous there when Toffoli came and scored that goal right after that goal was disallowed.
Yeah, because I thought that's the momentum switch right there. That's the shift.
Where sometimes like, that's all it takes. Is that,
yeah, especially the Kings scare me. I know we beat them in 5 last year, but it's a different team than last year. The Kings, defensively, they might be a little banged up still, but Quick, even though we've had his number, it's the playoffs, and this guy's a big game performer.
He's a big game. So you guys have had his number, kind of.
They have.
Of anyone.
Patrick Kane especially. He scored a lot of goals against Quick.
I think you should be scared. Because I'll tell you, I routinely blow the Blackhawks on the show. That's why I have a lot of Blackhawk fans that follow me. They're like fans for life. But I got to say, I'm taking the Kings in 7. Because I'll tell you. Yeah, because I don't think the Blackhawks did that much yesterday for a team that got maybe 3 hours of sleep.
Well, do you think that hurt him? I think it did.
That's a
short turnaround. And in hockey, that's gotta be tough.
I mean, if the Blackhawks lost that game, it'd have been really bad for them to lose that game. Now, I mean, as I'm saying, I'm picking them in 7. I'm probably an idiot. The Blackhawks will probably win in 6. But I just think, like, there's a thing about the Kings that I love is they can just keep turning it up. They're like 8. They're like 11-0 in games that really matter.
That's the thing. They're gritty. You know what I mean? They're gritty. When they're down, they play better.
Well, it's like Richards and Carter. They didn't even did they play yesterday?
Yeah, no.
But I'll tell you what. In Game 5, you're gonna see them.
Yeah,
Richards scares me because we knocked him out last year. Bolin hit him and he missed like 2 or 3 games in that series.
Right.
So if Richards is healthy through the whole series, that kind of scares me. I predicted the Hawks in 6. Yeah. On my Facebook page, so the whole world can see.
Right.
In my prediction, I think Kane will continue to dominate, although he was quiet yesterday. I think Taves could neutralize Kopitar. Like, you talk about blowing Taves, I blow Kopitar.
Kopitar's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I think he wins the Selke. I think he's unbelievable.
Yeah, the captain knows. He's West Coast Malkin, but he plays a little more defense. Gino plays a little more offense. I love Kopitar.
Kopitar's great.
I love Kopitar. And I'll tell you who's coming through is Gaborik.
Gaborik.
Wow.
Gaborik's awesome. Yeah. What a pickup.
Yeah. Yeah. Was he have 9 goals in the playoffs? I think he leads.
It all right there, too.
But there was a couple weeks after they got him where people are like, well, you know, what's he doing? He hasn't done anything. And now this is what they got him for. He's turning it up.
Well, he was always one of those guys that would make boneheaded plays a lot. And he just kind of came off a little soft, but not with LA.
Yeah, no.
I had not seen it at all.
Sutter, I mean, it was funny. They traded the softest guy on earth for him, Fratton.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a cream puff player.
He's a skirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about the out. I mean, Fratton's shooting from the concession stand. He doesn't get anywhere near the play. But, you know, but Pearson's coming up to that rookie line with Carter, Pearson and Pearson's. I mean, the Kings, where do they get these guys?
I like this Toffoli kid.
Toffoli, I'm a Pearson. Fan of
too. He's great, man. You know what? I got to give you guys props. So Crawford played great.
Crawford has played great in the whole playoffs. I mean, he had a couple soft goals going into our 2 losses to Minnesota. But overall, he's been great. I think 1.95 goals against average. Chicago, though, as a city, has a love-hate relationship with Corey Crawford.
They don't like Crawford? Really?
A lot of people don't like him there. I'll see it on, I still follow a lot of my friends back home on Twitter and Facebook, and they'll jump on him as soon as they can. I don't know why, but.
You know, that's just the way it is.
He's pretty solid to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a great goaltender. Yeah. But that's just the way, I mean, goaltenders, it's the first, it's the most knee-jerk, it's the most, not sophomoric, whatever the word is, it's the most amateur, but the most amateur hockey fans' reaction is always blame the goaltender.
That's the easiest one to blame.
It is the easiest thing to see. Oh, that guy should have stopped that.
Well, that's why it's a tough job.
Yeah. I mean, I come from the most, from Pittsburgh. I mean, like, my goal.
Well, you're the last line of defense. And if there's one guy you can blame, it's the easiest
position to pick on for an amateur, for people who don't exactly know what they're talking. I mean, it's sometimes it is the goalie's fault, but
This is why I like podcasts. You're using the word amateur to describe these fans, where if this was like ESPN, it'd be like the casual fan. No, he's an amateur. He's an idiot. The idiot fans will always blame the goalie because it's that obvious. Well, they'll blame the quarterback.
Like in Pittsburgh, it's the guys that don't watch hockey until the Steelers season's over.
Yeah.
They're the ones that hate Fleury. Everyone in the season play 82 games. No, hey, he flamed out. I mean, but this season, he played really good this season.
Yeah.
He played really good this season.
Let's talk about a kid they brought up that played great, though, for the Ducks, that kid Gibson.
Gibson, wow.
Wasn't he great? And, he's 20 years old.
Yeah.
20 years old, that kind of pressure on you. And he had a shutout in his first start.
Yeah.
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 That guy was awesome.
Unbelievable.
But first playoff start. I think first he played a couple.
First playoff start, that's right.
But, what's funny is when they were, it wasn't even... It was still like, it was 5-0, and then it was like 5-2. I started getting tweets from all of our great fans, like, you can smell the barbecue. They were already like attacking Barbara, like, we hope we don't sign him. They're already, and I was like, hey, you knew the barbecue's pumpkin, or the chariot was turned to a pumpkin. You knew it.
Called it. But you know what?
You know his team wasn't getting the show. You knew his team wasn't going to show up and play at some point. I know what it is about him. I mean, because he has leaders on that team.
Well, like, he does.
That's not the usual Ovechkin and, 80.
And I wouldn't call that a fold. I think the Ducks played a great series. I just think
they didn't show up in that first period. That was bad.
That final game, they didn't really do it, but they played a pretty good series.
They did.
They did, but I mean, you got to show up for game 7. Disco lost the room, they showed up.
At home. They were at home, the Ducks. But
they started the game. I didn't even know until I looked at Twitter and people were like, look at Kings up 2-0. Like, what? They started the game at 6. The arena must have been half empty. How can you start a game in Anaheim at 6?
You can't get down the 5. It takes you three hours to get down the 5.
Even the games at 7:30, it's like empty at 7:30.
You've got to leave at noon the day before.
Yeah. You got to get a hotel room. Hey, your Ducks season ticket package, come to the hotel.
Check out Disneyland.
Rent a car.
Right.
Fly in the Bob Hope Airport or whatever is that, Sinatra. What's the airport down there?
John Wayne.
Oh, John Wayne.
John Wayne.
Someone from that era.
Yeah.
You were close.
It's SNA on the when you hit other airports. I've never flown in there.
You haven't really?
Oh, I've done Ontario.
It's a treat.
I've done Ontario though. That's a treat because there's no public transport. I'm like, I'll take the bus or not the bus, but the
tram though.
Yeah, not the even the everyone pays $10 and you get it's like $49 from Ontario. It's like, geez.
Wow.
It doesn't make it any cheaper. Nobody cares about that. But how about Timu Salonen?
Well, I was just going to bring that up. An unbelievable player, and I love the class of the King staying around and giving him
that was fantastic
send off, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. That was awesome, and he is awesome.
That was nice. That skating, that even at the end of the third period, Kings fans were cheering for him. They were chanting Timu. They were really
awesome.
Into him. What, 43 years old?
Yeah.
I believe.
Five
still,
Olympics.
Still five playing Olympics. Great. Still wow. playing great.
Yeah, he still looks fantastic.
He was great in that series. He scored a couple goals. He just and a gentleman and a guy that really is an ambassador.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Gretzky of today.
And Barbecue scratched him in game 2 against
was that?
Stars.
What was that? Come on, Barbecue.
And then he went back and scored. And then he scored the next game. He scored a goal and had like 2 assists and led the – it's Barbecue.
No rhyme or reason.
Yeah.
But you got to give that guy.
But Benigno has to play. But we're going to sit Timu Salonen.
Wow.
It's a joke. Well, speaking of the unclass, my man crush, did you see what he did?
No, what happened?
Oh, Lucic tried to start a brawl in the handshake line.
Talk about opposite ends of the spectrum. You have like one Timu who's getting cheered on as he skates off the ice, and everyone.
Yeah, Lucic was wild. What was that, man?
Did you see the shirts they had printed? It says "Good game, good game, good game. Fuck you, I'll kill you. Good game, good game."
That's hilarious.
Yeah, but
that's not cool.
No, it's not. But I still love the Lucic. You know what? Though he didn't back down.
He's a hell of a player.
He's not apologizing.
Well, you know what? He's a tough guy, and he's got that attitude. In a way, you respect the fact that he really wants to win, and he's not going to give up. But still, you got to be classy.
Don't ruin that tradition of shaking hands.
That's a tradition.
But my thing is this, though. I don't mind the shit talking. I'm kind of a bit of a I especially after an emotional loss. I've said a lot of stupid things personally to people, so I get it. I could relate.
Right.
But don't shake the hand. It would have been funnier if he just was shook hands with the guys he liked and go, no, fuck you. And like, I think, you know, if you're going to go the Little League route, do it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. That.
But to still shake their hands and be like, oh, fuck yourself. I mean, it's like that scene in Christmas Vacation. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Kiss his ass. Kiss your own ass. Like, it kind of made me think of that.
Well, they said, well, he just could have not done the handshake line. And to me, there's only one person I know that ever did that, and that was Ed Belfour. And for me to remember, that's like a bad – that's like everyone knows Robbie Alomar spit at the that's like – you never want to be remembered for not doing the handshake line.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
But he's going to be remembered for this though, so either way.
Yeah, this is worse.
Me personally, I
like his playing style.
I think –
great player. Yeah. I got to give him that.
I think three sticks in the balls are much – I mean, telling somebody off in the handshake line, I don't know. I don't think it's that
Well – It is a little funny having that cocky smile on your face with the camera. Like, yeah, great series. I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah.
Until next year.
He almost ripped his shoulder out. He like tried to rip his shoulder off his arm. I mean, his arm off his shoulder. But you see the handshake? He's like, he's firm on everybody. But then Wheeze, he just like tried to rip his arm out of his sock.
Yeah.
The funny thing about Wheeze is, and then we'll get into my debacle, is, you know, they got Wheeze for like a ham sandwich. Wheeze is exactly who the Penguins need. Like Wheeze tormented, like, you know, Wheeze would have really helped the Penguins out, but, you know, literally the Canadians got him for like a ham, like nothing, you know, like future considerations.
That's one of the biggest agonies as a sports fan, is seeing someone you need go to a team in your conference and for nothing, for something you could have given up
on easily. the Nads.
That always is tough. You know, speaking of payback, how about Kreider? He better watch it.
Oh, yeah. And the best is, I have nothing against the Rangers. I mean, they just kept our inevitable demise. I'd rather everyone sees what we're worth. But they're like, we're going to dress Carcillo. Let me tell you something. Johnny Bench over there could beat up Carcillo. I'm sick of people trying to pretend that Carcillo's a tough guy. They are going to run Carcillo. They're going to dress Carcillo. Okay, then the Canadians will just dress George Parros. And then you'll see Carcillo hide. Carcillo is one of those fake tough guys. He's a fake tough guy.
No, he's an agitator.
When someone really wants to fight him, he always kowtows or he finds his name to the glass or gets the two-minute roughing or just – he'll never fight anybody actually tough.
Well, you know,
I got to say this. I know him personally. He's a great guy. Nice guy.
Is he? Yeah.
He's a nice guy. No, I
we have Nate Craig too here. He's a nice guy.
Well, you know what? I've met him. He's a great dude.
Well, you know
it's
what?
It's one of those like things where I want to be like, oh, well, I see your points there, but I also, we went to a concert together and he was a lot of fun. Like, you know, one of those things.
Sure, so, that happens.
No, but I'm telling you, know, like, oh, we're gonna, give me a break.
No, if I was a Pittsburgh fan playing him with, I don't mean to interrupt you, Frazier.
No problem.
With, you know, because Carcillo's a longtime Flyer, I could get it. Like,
he was a Penguin draft pick. He's how we got LaRocque. Yeah,
he's one of those guys that when he's on your team, because he was a Blackhawk for a bit, you'll love him. But when he's on any other team, you can't stand him. And I'm sure he knows that about himself. Every sport has that guy where everyone hates.
Well, those guys have a good effect. You know, I was watching the 30-30 on the Bad Boys, and Lambeer was like that. Everyone hated him, but he worked for them because he got everybody pissed.
He was fantastic.
Well, took everybody out of their head.
But there's guys I hate, like on the Flyers, like Hartnell and Simmons. I've said this before. I would piggyback ride Hartnell to Pittsburgh on the Turnpike if he wanted to come. I mean,
that's true.
I mean, I just think Carcillo. I don't like rats. I don't like guys that do their shit. And then when it's time to face the music, they really don't face. I mean, Carcillo will fight anybody, like, you know, that's 5'10 and 190. But does he really fight anyone that's like, you know, 6'2, 220? I'm not saying the mega goon. I'm just saying the guy that's going to knock him.
Yeah.
Like, answer the bell.
That's 6'3, 225.
I don't know if it's you or Nate, but Nate, another great guest, Nate Craig, but they were talking about Ben Eager.
Yeah.
Are you friends with Ben Eager?
I'm friends with Ben Eager, yes.
Because I'm not friends with, but I know I did a concert and chatted for hours with Gary Roberts.
Oh, wow.
Legitimate badass.
Yeah.
He actually told Ben Eager's agent he should send me his winnings for this, his winnings check for the Stanley Cup. Because way back in the day when we beat the Flyers 7 games in a row in the regular season, which I think they should have put a statue to Therrien just for that. Right? So LaRocque was on the ground LaRocque was on the ground. So Eager skates up and sucker punch LaRocque. So then Gary Roberts, old school, went over the board and said, "Ah, young kid, you and sucker hit people."
Yeah, he was young when he did that.
You and hit people on the ground. Well, now let's dance. And this is infamous. It's like they admit they're making features like, what would Gary Roberts do? Gary Roberts, he was like 43. He beat the piss out of Eager. And the Flyers were so embarrassed, they traded him to Chicago.
That's true.
Wow.
Yeah, we got him from Philly.
Yeah.
Roberts.
Because it was like they can't let someone like a kid lose to like the oldest guy in the NHL who's a penguin. I mean, they're like, he's like they didn't throw him out of the open plane, like with the cargo.
Right.
I told Roberts, like, that's what I go, you know, my favorite moment from you is? And he was like, oh, he goes, yeah, I told his agent he should have sent me his Stanley Cup
winning. That's funny.
But even Eager, though, Eager will fight a real man.
Yeah, he doesn't back down. Yeah, he might not win the fights, but right, he does fight. Not back but down. He's a tough guy.
Yeah, he really is. And he fights the fights. And he's not a cheap shot guy, Eager.
No, he's a team player too.
But he's not a cheat. Like Carcillo is a cook who pretends he fights, but like he doesn't really fight. He fights the middleweights.
Yeah, I won't disagree with
that. But anyway, I like that.
I mean,
he didn't get into a whole lot of fights when he was here, though, with the Kings, did he, Carcillo?
He didn't play that much.
Sutter
can see right. Oh, I see. You're going to knee people and then not really dance and then just be in the box and just, you know.
Yeah.
Sutter can see through that. It's Daryl Sutter.
You're not fooling Daryl Sutter. No, that's true. Now,
and Sutter has real guys that'll answer the bell. Like, what him skating around for? Nolan's kid's crazy. Well, and Nolan's kid will fight heavyweights. And Nolan's kid's been a scratch. You know? Well, Ted Nolan, the old coach.
You don't really need any of the bruisers come playoff time, though.
Yeah, so, playoff hockey's different. You want to keep that momentum going.
Well, you don't need enforcers.
You don't need enforcers, but you want that's why you want the six. You want Bolig. You want Bickle
fight too.
Yeah.
I love Bickle. I love him. You know, I know he didn't score a lot during the regular season, that guy.
He's turning into when the Hawks won in 2010, Dustin Byfuglien was that guy, where I think he scored like 11 goals during the regular season and played like 80 games. And then in the playoffs scored like 13 goals, where it was just turns on the right time. I don't know if they switched the lines right for him.
Yeah,
but get him with Bickle. They get Bickle with Taves and it just clears some ice.
Yeah.
And he just, I don't know, he should play that year round. It's frustrating.
He's a monster when he's on.
Because he's 6'4". He's an amazing wrist shot.
And what a shot.
And he hustles. He knows he's always in the right spot.
I love that shot.
Yeah, his shot is heavy.
He's like Daniel Briere with like 10 inches and 60 pounds.
He's a big dude,
Briere,
man.
Does nothing every regular season in the playoffs, like especially when he's in Buffalo.
Bickle's like the modern power forward of hockey. He is that
poster child.
Yeah. When he's on, he's very good.
No,
I'm glad he's having a big playoffs because he got an extension for about $4.5 million. So he got a big extension. Which at the time, I remember thinking, he's getting a $4 million a year for a guy who really only had a good 6 weeks last year. Before that, he was always kind of third, fourth line, and people thought was disappointing as a player. But he stepped up last year's playoffs, last year's Stanley Cup run, got the big contract. We had to clear room by letting go of Michael Frolik, Dave Bolin, and Stahlberg. Stahlberg actually reminds me of... another guy who slammed into goalies a lot because he was too fast to stop himself.
I want to ask you guys about that thing with Chris Kreider. You know, you knocked my boy out. You know, I just love Carey Price.
Yeah, you've been on him the whole season.
Price is a great goalie, and he's having a great run here in the playoffs.
I would still pick them, even though they lost game one, but now the Price is hurt.
I can't see the Rangers are all pissed at Kreider.
The Canadians are.
Yeah, could he have gotten out of the way? It seemed like he couldn't, really.
I've watched the replay several times now. I don't think he could have. And I know he's got a history of slamming into goalies. I just think he's one of those, like, spaz kids. Remember that kid growing up that was just a spaz, had so much energy, you couldn't figure out why. And he's just really fast. And I think he was going for the goal, lost his skate last second, and really had nowhere else but to slam in.
Well, that's what it looked like to me. And I'm a Carey Price guy.
Yeah,
but
being blade
still...
up is what kind of made you think, all right, now... This has happened a few times. You have to learn how to control yourself. And maybe one of the Habs is going to have to rough him up a little bit as kind of that
message. Know that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I think it will.
He did it to Fleury.
Yeah, he did. He slammed into him
hard. So he's got a rep for that, huh?
Now.
Yeah. But this one didn't look to me like he did it on purpose.
It's not the most vicious running into a goalie by far.
But you did take out the other team's best player.
He put his skates up. That was just that's kind of like cool. The no-no.
Yeah.
That's not cool. So he'll answer the bell.
But it also looked like he really couldn't have stopped himself.
Yeah, I know. I've watched it enough times to think to myself, was this him being a jerk? Did he go blade high?
And what'd you think?
I don't think he did, but I do think he needs to answer the bell for it. I think there'll be some Game 2 fireworks.
Oh, yeah, they're going to, yeah.
I think he did it. I don't think he meant to injure him, but I think he meant to get in his head. He meant to do it.
You think?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
those guys, you're right, Joe.
Those guys all, even Peros and George LaRocque can skate good enough to where they know how to, they can skate. I mean, they know how to get out of the way. That's why they're professional hockey players.
Well, sometimes but it's like you said, that Spaz kid. If he's going hard to the goal,
I've seen him.
But he didn't get tripped. If I remember, he didn't get tripped up or nothing. It wasn't like
he didn't. No,
you know, it's like it was his own speed, his own. He's like, you know, damn it, if I'm not going to score, I'm going to run right through him.
I'm going to run this guy. Yeah. Now the goalie they bring.
So that's what I mean. Like he didn't try to stop. Whatever you want to say. I mean, whatever
his intent was to injure him, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't think he meant to hurt him, but he meant to run and get in his kitchen. That's what playoff hockey is. Yeah. I didn't have anything wrong we did against Fleury. I'm more like, hey, someone should have kicked him in the face. When he's sitting on the ground there, that's when you hop on top of him.
That's when Ben Eager needs to be there.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's when you need Eager. The problem is.
Yeah, that's the whole thing when everyone they talk about, bring up the Boston thing about how now it's all ancient history now, but with Cook, and it's like, he took Savard out for life, blah, blah, blah. Well, Savard wasn't really – they would have never won the cup if Savard was on that team because they took away his salary and got like four more players. People didn't like Savard. After Cook did it, no one came to his rescue that game. If you don't do it that –
it's kind of true.
It's true. Yeah. If you don't do it that game, then don't come crying to me about anything.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
No, I mean, seriously, if you really thought it was intentional, then you just, whoever, and it's not like, because it's like when someone goes after someone, no matter what, if they think it's wrong, no matter if it's a goon or a power forward or the smallest guy will go after the guy. It always, when it's on ice and it's legitimate, that's bullshit.
Yeah, to wait till the next game is a little weird. You're right. But what it really hurts the Habs, because Price is a great goalie, and he was on this whole playoff season he's been on.
Hey,
and bringing this guy, Peter, I can't even say his last name.
Buda,
he let in three goals in one period.
They're done. I think they're done. Without Price, they don't have a chance.
He is an 850 goal.
Wow, man. I mean,
back in your old days and Detroit Metro, you had a better than
even I
than an 850.
Yeah, come on, 850 is better.
850 is kind of like, you're gonna get hit 750.
Come on,
like, man. They're gonna hit you at 750.
No, that's true. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. So they're done. I mean,
it's just a shame. I just wanted to see a great series. Yeah. I didn't really care who won in the East. Yeah, I liked those two original six teams. That was cool. But without pride, I just hated when a star goes down.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's their best player.
The picture of it, and it sucks because it's good for the sport to see the best versus the best.
Yes, it is.
And it sucks. I like Price a lot too.
Even just for my kid's sake, for the national anthem, if you want to see at least six games in the the Canadian national anthem, they bring out the opera singer. Oh, not
you can't
not
hear
a,
enough.
No, it's good anthem. It's a shame for Therrien too. He got that team going.
He did a good job.
He's upset about it. He thinks it was on purpose.
Yeah, he did.
And Therrien's no Disco Dan. He'll send. No, I'm telling you, they're going to.
Oh, they're going to run him.
They're going to run him.
I can't wait. That's on tonight, right?
Yeah.
We get all tuned in.
And that's really how kind of stupid Kreider is for doing that. Because I'll tell you, whatever you say about Budaj, the Canadians are a much better team than the Rangers are. Like, Lundqvist makes that gap. Like, if the Rangers without Lundqvist is incredibly worse than the Canadians without Price. I love Price,
Lundqvist
is like
great. He's awesome.
He's incredible.
Yeah.
He's huge.
He's what beat you guys.
He's a big goalie.
Yeah. There's very little room to get a puck past a guy that big.
He's always positionally sound. He doesn't get wound up, even though
he's the guy who beat you guys.
He did.
Yeah.
It's so funny because, talk about the Rangers being on a roll. Now, Rick Nash scored goal number seven. I mean, that's how That's how out of it Montreal was. That Rick Nash scored.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I mean, having to Rick Nash. He was such a great player.
What did he ever do, though? He was like a bad – anyone – I mean, you know, like Rick is so overrated. He's a big guy with a decent wrist shot who never played an important game in his life.
Was it just because he was on Columbus and they needed someone? Everyone overrated him?
Yeah, because someone's going to score. If you're always the guy on the power play, you're going to get 30 goals. It's like I compared to basketball where, like, oh, he got 20 and 10. Well, he's on the
Timberwolves.
On the Hornets. Someone's going to shoot, and someone's going to get a rebound.
Every team gets X amount of points.
True.
It's got to be
somebody's got to get him.
But, I mean, of all the people, Rick Nash. I mean, what a joke.
Well,
what a joke.
I think Canadians, you're right, though. It should have been a great series. Now it probably won't be.
I don't think it will be now. I think the Rangers will probably take it in five. What do you think?
Maybe six.
It'll probably be five still. I think Montreal might steal one. You think they'll sweep them now?
If they were playing at home for 3 and 4 and not on the road for 3 and 4, I would think Montreal could stick around for 6. But now that they really won game one and they're going back to New York with Budaj, I don't know. Therrien's a great defensive coach, though. And they might be able to really just play a trap and really squeeze them out, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and who knows? Who knows if Lundqvist is going to last?
They might run
at him. Yeah, that's a good point. I don't even think about that.
Therrien is not.
They better have Michael Buffer on hand for this.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, seriously, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, they're going to be sending some, and they got a lot of sandpaper on that team anyway. On the Canadians, you know what I mean? Like
they got fight in them. No, that's true. They got fight in them. I'm just
and they have some. They have some backup. I mean, they got, you know, they're sitting. They're sitting some goons too. So if they want to,
you know, I think the best player in the whole playoffs has been Subban.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think he's just tremendous.
Amazing.
You guys have fun talking about the racist talk towards him.
No, I heard about that though. It's terrible. Yeah. What are you doing?
It happens. Boston does that. A lot.
Oh, they were just saying bad things about it. But, you know.
They did that to Ward a few years ago, too.
Yeah. We don't really get into the politics.
No, I don't.
But you got to look at the guy's skill set. What an unbelievable player.
Yeah. The funny thing about that is his brother's a world class goaltender, and he's like the number one prospect for the Bruins.
Really? Oh,
is that right? Really?
Yeah. Wow. So that's the funny thing. But it's Boston. You know, their fan base in many ways is to me one of the most irritating. In all sports, I don't know what, because they have that red sock, like the cross, like the, you know, the Ann Hester or whatever, the scarlet letter.
Yeah.
Like they carry that around, like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like enough, you know, really. I don't know. But I've always liked the Bruins. Like, I don't have anything against the Bruins. But a lot of their fans, like, you know, it's like,
yeah, I've got family in Boston, and they were always one of those. Like the whole Red Sox not winning forever. And, you know, I was a Cubs fan, so I could obviously, I never felt bad for them. But it was one of those things where everyone kind of, oh, they won the World Series in 2004. Everyone's like, oh, isn't this good for them? The country kind of was like, that's great. And then they started winning in everything. And
yeah,
it just got like,
then you
oh,
can't
fuck,
get behind them
you,
anymore.
You can't. You can't get behind a team that city in the last 10 years has won a Super Bowl, an NBA title, a Stanley Cup, what, 2 or 3 World Series. Now I'm over them.
Enough. Yeah, enough.
Well, like, I didn't mean to bring up the racist talk.
No, but it's good that you did because, you know, that's so wrong, especially when a guy's playing. I mean, wait, it's wrong no matter what.
Yeah.
But I mean, this guy, you should be giving him praise.
Well, even if
you're on the other team, because this guy's playing so great.
Well, it's like
you should appreciate good hockey.
Well, it's like the Thornton thing, you know, when he sucker punched Orpik. Do I think Orpik should have fought? Definitely. But how can you condone someone sucker punching someone on the ground twice?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, how is he a hero? Like, of course, I think Orpik should have fought, but that's two wrongs don't make a right.
Like,
you know,
there you
like,
go.
You know, that's
preach I mean, it, Joe.
Yeah,
that's
Joe.
Straight, bud.
That's we have to bring William up here, our esteemed elevator guy. He's the best.
By the way, we
have the best team in the business, all the way down from the parking garage.
Yeah, we got a good
up
team.
Up to Johnny Bench.
I heard validated parking, and I'm like, I love this building.
This is a professional.
This is great.
Although
you heard from God when you were down there trying to get the parking ticket out.
Yeah.
You know who that was.
I'm still stung from Black Friday. Should we get into that now?
Let's talk about it.
So we woke up, everyone woke up on Friday morning, Pittsburgh, thinking, meh. You know, well, they're having a press conference. Well, at least Disco Dan will be fired. And then, I, you know, Ray's made some dubious decisions. But, you know, maybe he'll be But maybe he'll be around. Everyone kind of likes Ray.
You want a disco out?
No, I want a disco gone. You know, I was actually trying to find a video of them blowing up the disco records and White Sox Stadium.
Oh, yeah. And Steve Dahl. Demolition. Yeah. Yeah, Steve Dahl.
But it was all like 10-minute clips. I wanted just like the 10-second quick clip to put on Facebook, just the like by disco. Disco balls.
That was a great moment, by the way.
That was something. Yeah.
But they ended up keeping disco and shelving Shiro. And the reasoning was from a lot of people was because, you know, the money behind Lemieux is Ron Burkle. And Ron Burkle went from like owning a 7-Eleven to like owning Safeway.
Wow, that's
he owned a like jump. A corner, like he owned like a corner store. To
that's
like,
a bump up.
Yeah, so wow. He's and his friends are like Clinton and like you know, I mean, he's like Ron Burkle's like he's a shrewd businessman. So they're saying they kept Disco, you know, just whatever to pick his brain or whatever he is and know what's going on. And plus, the Washington Capitals, not the Capitals, but Vancouver fired Tortorella, fired the GM and then kept Tortorella, let the new GM pick. In Carolina, they fired Kirk Muller, let Captain Ron pick the new coach. So it wasn't
– I heard in a press release they were going to have the new GM decide.
Yes. But the bottom line is, you know, they're hanging Disco out to dry, which is kind of a dicky move because he gave us a cup. I always love Dan for that. Shiro, you know, he made some good moves, but this year – he let the cupboard dry.
Someone's got
to
go. Right?
It had to be Game of Thrones because I'll tell you. It covered up the fact that if Sid would have played halfway decent, because
Gino, that was my next question. What happened to Sid?
I think he pussed out. I'll be honest with you. I think
because of concussions.
That's what I'm starting to wonder too. Is it because like playoff? It's more intense playoff hockey. So is there something with him with that where he's just a little softer come playoff time? Because
he never used to be.
If I were Disco Dan, I would pull Sid aside early in the playoffs and said, "You do realize you're Sidney Crosby, right? You know you're amazing,
but right?
Why
right,
are you playing like this?"
He never used to be soft like that, though. He wasn't soft that way this season.
Well, remember last?
I'm saying, I'm thinking maybe because the intensity picks up. I don't know if he's having like Vietnam style flashbacks.
Well, that's what I was wondering from the concussion.
I'm grasping at straws.
He still looks like the best player out there in terms of his skating ability and stuff. I said that last week.
For two games,
when you see him going up and down the ice, you're thinking no one else skates that well. No one else has that energy. He's got that Gretzky skating, but then something's going on there.
That was the weirdest thing, though, because for three games he played well against the Rangers, and I came in here and I was like, I was telling people on Pittsburgh radio, like I'm like, for three games, everybody looked like they wanted the cup as much as I did, like from 5 years ago, where I thought we'd be playing the Blackhawks or the Kings. I really was like, well, that was my prediction. It was like they played great. They were moving the puck. They were doing everything right. And then Crosby fell apart again. But here's what I'm saying is like, okay, Fleury, he played good. He played very good to very good. The defense, you know, played good, if not very good. Gino, He single-handedly kicked Columbus out of the playoffs.
He played great.
Yeah, Gino played great. You know, the other guys, you know, other than, you know, the I'm no big deal in the playoffs, James Neal, who I cannot wait till they get rid of. Everyone else played pretty. They played up to their ability, and they were still one game away from the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, if Sid just would have showed up a little bit, it still would have masked the big problem. And because they're playing the Rangers and Naz, they would have probably went 6 or 7, lost or won, and got beheaded.
Now, what are the Pens fans doing about Sid? Are they going off about it?
This is the funny thing. This is the first time where there's really people criticizing him. Media, everybody. The first time ever.
First time in his life.
Yeah, and that's why I tweeted out an article and everything because they were saying if this – because there's a lot of guys in town that just want to back Sid. And anytime there's a problem, they'll shit on Fleury or shit on Gino. And they're like, you can't – it's Sid. Like it's like you know
if he's if, the golden if, child.
Today's Gretzky.
If Gino would have done that, you'd be hanging him off the Mitchell Street Bridge.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. So it's like, but be that as it may, the Penguins are 6 forwards away from being a good team. They're 6.
So no matter what Sid does, they still need more.
And you would have seen it. It completely played out against either the Kings or the Blackhawks because the Bruins. They had matched two lines and maybe and Chara looked even more tired.
This
year and just would and they have some defensemen are younger. They don't play. They're not as good as they were last. The Bruins are not as good as they were last year, but against the Blackhawks or the Kings, it would have been very apparent Yeah. That they're 6 forwards shy.
Because the West really has it all going on.
Yeah, that was my next question. Is it safe to say whoever comes out of the West will be a heavy favorite?
I would think, 100%.
The only way that I would say there wouldn't have been a heavy favorite is if, like, Montreal would have, in five, would have won with Price.
Yeah.
Then I would have been, well.
Yeah, the Habs might have been.
You know what I mean?
It'd
been like, wow. I would have been now. It's like, I mean, I don't.
I didn't want the Kings. I still think the Hawks will take it, but I wanted Anaheim, even though we would have lost home ice, still a rookie goaltender. I just feel like puck possession time would have been better off against Anaheim.
Kings Blackhawks pretty tight.
But it's going to be a tough series.
Yeah, pretty tight.
The Kings have a lot of heavy guys. I mean, like the Blackhawks can impose their will on the Ducks. They can't impose their will on the Kings.
No.
The Penguins 2009. When you're up by a goal, and you see the third or fourth lines they would send out, you just cannot get the puck out. You throw the puck in. The Penguins, other than when it was Crosby, Malkin, and Kunitz, they never had a forecheck once. Never once was the puck in there for 10 seconds. You can't win it. You can't beat a good team like that. If you're always back, if you're always backing up and the puck's always coming at you.
Eventually that's going to get.
Yeah, and how do you do that? You don't do that with like a Gibbons. He's like 130 pounds soaking wet. You do that with guys like the Blackhawks have, guys like the Kings have.
That's why that series is cool, because it's a great matchup. And, you know, one thing the Blackhawks did do, I don't know if you call it a trap or what it is, but they were keeping the Kings out of their zone, kind of what the Kings always do. They'd cut you off. You couldn't get in.
They did a little neutral zone trapping for a little bit there. But you're right, though. The Hawks could impose their will on the Ducks. They can't quite do it against the Kings. And the best example is just in the first period yesterday. First almost 8 minutes of the game, the Hawks just dominated the puck, controlled the puck. They're getting all the shots on goal. And then just a switch.
Kings turned it around,
I can't say that phrase. And then the Kings were controlling it for a while. And it was like, what's happening now? It's just, I think the Kings, because they've overcome, you know, they've been down in both series that they've won.
It's giving them a lot of confidence.
They own hockey in California, knocking out the Sharks and then the Ducks. And they have so much confidence. I think they're one of those teams where the Hawks could be up 4-0 going into period three. And
they always
still
believe they can come back. That's important.
You feel like no lead is safe.
3-0. If the Kings win game two, it is on.
Yeah.
It is a war. They have to win. I mean, I'm still picking the Kings in seven, but they have to win game two.
I still have the Hawks in six. And I think the Kings could win game two, and I still think the Hawks will win in six. I think the Hawks are due to lose at home because they're undefeated at home right now.
That's right. Yeah, they've been playing.
Fact that they don't go out, the fact the Kings refuse to lose, like such champions.
They got a great heart.
There's guys on that team, they just don't lose.
Yeah.
When it really matters, they show up.
Well, they were down in both those previous series and came back.
One thing I'm shy on, San Jose on shy too. On is Shaw.
Wasn't that awesome?
Is Shaw coming back?
They think he might come back for game three.
Wow.
That was the last thing I heard about it.
He's
resilient.
It's hard to say they miss him because they're beating everybody, but he's a great player. I mean, the Kings are, the Blackhawks are just so loaded.
They're a loaded team.
They are just tons of depth.
Loaded.
Great. Scotty Bowman's kids, the GM. I'm there, and it's like,
he's done an awesome job,
an incredible job. The other thing is, you know, I don't know if they still have them suckered under lower contracts, but I mean, you know, Malkin and Sid took less money. They make 8.7, which is they're up allowed to make like 11.5 or whatever. They're something like
I think Keenan Taves originally did,
but they're still only making like $6 million. Are they ever going to get?
I think they're both around seven.
Really?
I think Kane's about seven. I don't know what Taves' contract is.
I thought they were like a 6.5 or something.
Maybe they are. Maybe you might be right. I thought they got a little
some
bonus.
Points,
had Conn Smythe bonuses in their contract. When Taves won the Conn Smythe in 2010, he got $1 million bonus. Right. Which I don't know if that hurt. I don't think that's against your cap, though.
I don't think so. Yeah.
But there's at some point, though, because I mean, they just did it right. They picked, I mean, you know, they picked the, as I've said on the show many times, they picked the six or seven guys that they knew were going to win.
And they kept them.
And they kept them, and they got rid of all the other dead weight. Not even dead weight, but just, you know, their third and fourth liners, they have to go. No one, they shouldn't assume they're on the team all the time, because that's where you get your energy from. Every other team
has hungry players.
I mean, look at how many young guys are on the Kings, the forward. They got like Toffoli, Pearson, and they have a couple young guys playing defense. Schultz is like,
that's their future.
You know, and the Penguins, it's like they're like, oh my God, he's a rookie, he can't play. It's like, that's what brings energy. to the team.
You need that fourth line, third and fourth line guys that have that.
They have that energy.
Yeah, that grind. That
great GMs know when to get rid of those players. They know.
Yeah.
Great GMs. And I don't think, well, who knows what Pittsburgh. Well, let me ask you this question, Joe.
Please do.
All right, here we go.
No, I love
you. You get hired. Say you're the Pittsburgh hires you as GM. What's your first move that you do?
I move Christopher Letang and I move James Neal.
Immediately.
I change it immediately. I wave Craig Adams. If Craig Adams was a horse, he'd already be glue. I would try to sign Niskanen for like 2 years and a lot of money. And if he doesn't like that, he doesn't want to buy.
Yeah.
I trade like the right, let someone else negotiate. I trade the rights to him, you know?
Yeah.
And I would make a big play for some of the Kings and the Blackhawks. I would make a big play for Dwight King. I'd make a big play for Shaw. I'd make a big play for, you said Bickles.
I want Bickle.
You said Bickle's been signed. I would make a big play for those guys. But I would James Neal would be, he'd be the Buddy Ryan. I'd trade him for a six pack. It doesn't even have to be cold. to me, he was.
Fourth round pick, you'd do it.
Yeah, just to get him off the books. Well, no, I would want something back. I want a player. Yeah,
something. What do you want? Defenseman? You want?
No, I don't want any defenseman. I want all the young defense. And I would tell Robert Bertuzzo, and I would tell Simone Dupre, you're on the team. And I would tell Scuderi, who I love, and say, we're going to see how your ankle is. If your ankle is not right, you we'll pay you the $4 million, but you're going to be in the minors. And that's just the way it is. You want to retire? You want released and try to see?
You'd be a good GM.
You'd be a great GM. And he's thinking money too.
And you want to be sucker? You want to sucker someone else into taking you? Like that's fine. But that's we're moving ahead with young kids. Here's Sid. Here's Gino, Kunitz, Bo Bennett, and Pascal Dupuis. Everybody else in Sutter, you want cheap money. You buy a house in Pittsburgh. You like it here. Here's the money I'm giving you. You don't like that? Well, have a nice life. Nobody else deserves anything. And I'd go
That's
out.
That's a no-nonsense GM. That tough every GM.
And it's funny because they did have. He's in Edmonton now. He was in Pittsburgh for a second, and he never dressed. But he was like 6'6", 275. He was the best fighter in the league for about 2 years. And Steve McIntyre, I forget.
You McIntyre, getting him back?
I would get Steve McIntyre back, and I'd just dress him every game. And that's it. And you know what? And I would run three lines. Say, Sid, you're 26. Gino, you're 27. We're running three lines. And that's it. And the fourth line is a penalty killer, maybe Bo Bennett if he's a power play specialist or whatever, and then McIntyre, and that's it. And Sid and Gino, you're killing penalties. I'm sick of Disco Dan and, elevating third and fourth. Everyone has a role. You don't have a role. You're playing 3 minutes. Sit down.
What would you say to Sid to get his game back on?
Sid, there's no excuse. And your winger that you wanted to play instead of a Ginla, you made Ginla play the third line because you like Duper. I love Duper. But in 2009, Duper was a healthy scratch in the Stanley Cup Finals. It's all you need to know about the Penguins and what happened to their team. Duper was a healthy scratch in the Stanley Cup Finals. Now he's Sid's preferred winger.
Uh-huh.
Duper, we love you. You're going to be on the third line with Sutter and some knuckle dragger we drag out of the Ontario League. and that's just the way it's going to be. And also, I'd have Lemieux. I'd say, I'm the GM, but I'd say, Mario, you're going to sit down with Sid. You're going to say, Sid, you're going to play the goal line. And Gino is going to play in Lemieux's office. Because for some reason, they don't fight publicly, and they all want to play together because Gino doesn't like the spotlight. He loves Pittsburgh. He likes being number two. But that's where they're both – that's where Sid thinks he's best at. Sid isn't best there. He's best at the goal line. But he wants the glamour. It's like whatever in basketball. It's like you're not bringing the ball. But I want to bring the ball up. No. Well, you're not. You're playing the – they know they will Bakunin's in front of the net until we get somebody bigger and younger. And then Gino's playing the half wall. And that's the way it's going to be.
I think he solved everything.
I really do. Yeah.
Wow, dude.
And I get an actual backup goaltender and not the cardboard cutout that is Jeff Zachoff. So Florida doesn't have to play 100 games, but I'm sticking with Flower. And that's exactly what I would, and you know, but literally the first, because to me, Kunitz was like, and I said this last, I think I said this here, it was Kunitz to me was like when Giambi went to the Yankees, how that was the beginning. Now, Kunitz, pardon me, I love Kunitz. James Neal. To me, he was the Giambi to the Yankees.
Right.
It was the first second that we went away from what we, the Penguins, were. Tough guys, guys with character, guys that wanted to win, to put on the line. And we got some, you know, Gigolo Jimmy, some cheap-ass pimp who rides Evgeny Malkin's coattails to almost the Olympics. He almost rode Gino's coattails to the Olympics. Wow. And what does he do? He takes stupid penalties. Takes stupid penalties and never shows up in the playoffs and isn't even that physical for how big he is. Isn't even that physical.
He's a cheap ass pimp.
Yeah, and I would just, and to me, he's the he's.
No need to sugarcoat.
He's one of those guys. He's one of those guys that came after the championship that acted like he won something.
Oh, I hate
James Neal. You didn't win anything. Goodbye. Enjoy Calgary.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's a tough GM. He's cleaning house.
Yeah, and him and Letang. Hey,
really, Letang? I like Letang.
I'm surprised about that.
Everyone loves Letang at $4 million. It's 7.5. Play a little defense.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's about.
But I love the way he brings the puck up.
I do too. I just, you know, tough decisions. If you want me to play, you mean tough decisions.
Well, no, that's why I was impressed with your skills as a GM. You were even smart enough to use the AHL rule where you could put their salary down there and it doesn't count against
the cap.
Actually,
you can't anymore.
Oh, they changed it?
As I said, we have to pay him, but he can't be an orange pylon on the ice.
Okay.
He can't be a cone.
There used to be where you could send those guys down there and hurt you.
The latest one did that.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And the thing is that, you know,
that was too good a deal.
Because it makes everything look, because you, I mean, and then you got to pay him because, oh, he's making $4 million. And then Bertuzzo, who played great, has to sit in the bench. What does that do for the team? Thinking, well, how good do I have to play to make it where I beat the guy whose salary's higher than me? And I love Scuderi. Yeah. Hopefully he. The best thing that could happen is Kadari rehabs all summer. His ankle's perfect. He comes back and plays great. That's the best scenario.
Yeah, that's what you want. I've never understood that in sports, though. It goes for all four of the major sports. They'll have a guy that's overpaid and terrible, but because he gets so much money, they have to play him.
Yeah.
You have to pay him anyway. What's the point? Why do you have to? Oh, just because he makes $10 million? So what? He sucks. Put him on the bench. You got to pay him regardless. It's not. Well, I know you want to get your money's worth, but no.
I see your point, but you know they always think the other way because they're thinking, look, we're going to look really bad if we put off that money and we don't.
None
play
of them
the
wanted.
Guy.
Not one GM wants to admit the mistake.
Yeah, that's what.
There's very few. There's maybe a couple in all of sports that will say, no, I made a mistake there. That's a terrible contract.
That was one of Shiro's biggest problems. Was that? he didn't want to change the course whenever he did it once though with McCulloch. He came when Scuderi left, they went out and got McCulloch from Phoenix, who was terrible. And he made Paul Martin play terrible for a year. People are like, want to get rid of Paul Martin. I'm like, Paul Martin was amazing in New Jersey. Let's get rid of the guy that we never saw play because he was played in Arizona. You know what I mean? They shipped him back. He went back. He knew. He's like, better than off in Arizona where no one pays attention and they don't know him. Just being skated around. He's a shot blocker. That just means you're standing there. If I'm a shot blocker, I get anyone to be a shot blocker. That just means laying out. I need someone to clear the puck. Craig Adams.
Brent Sopel.
Craig Adams, man, how many times he could not clear the puck this year? It was like, was the puck weigh 40 pounds?
Yeah.
I couldn't understand. That's why I knew he was so damn old. And Craig Adams, blood and guts. But it was
that
time
puck
to,
gets heavier as you get older.
Yeah. It was time to go.
Roosevelt's old, and he looked pretty good with the Hawks yesterday. So yeah. Some of those old defensemen keep it together.
Yeah.
Well, but he's been playing on and on. Like, he hasn't been playing every game and stuff.
No, they've been pretty smart about it with him. Coach Quinville will shake up lines in a way that frustrates you as a fan. But you can't question him because, he's a great coach.
That's the miracle. That's everyone's whatever that word is, the golden arrow. That's everyone's miracle now is they think we're going to get Babcock.
Oh, man, you're not getting him.
I know, but
we're keeping him.
He's not going anywhere.
You know, I'm Detroit. Yeah, we're keeping that guy, man. He's a good coach.
But he said that, I guess he said a bunch of places, I'd love to coach Crosby when at the Olympics. So and that's the big thing.
That's how the rumors start.
And that's the other rumor, because now we're keeping Blythe. We'll say, because Disco's from Detroit. We'll do the old, you can have Disco. We'll
we're keeping Batman.
Yeah. I know. I'm just saying that's the pipe.
Because he's good with kids. He's good with the up and with the young
Detroit's
kids.
Too smart of an organization.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, growing up a Blackhawks fan, I was taught to hate the Red Wings, but they were always that organization where it's like, I don't like them, but damn it, do I respect them. Yeah. This is a great organization.
They've got good upper management. Yeah.
And they got great. I mean, you can't beat Ken Holland. Then you got Babcock.
Yeah.
You can't,
the top coach.
You can't beat him.
And we got a bunch of young guys who are going to be good.
I think so.
We just need good coaching for those kids, and I think Babcock's the guy.
I mean, my theory that we got screwed because of the Olympics, because they should have fired Dan. Most people think they should have fired Dan after the Flyer debacle, but they definitely should have fired Dan last year. And we couldn't because he was the Olympic coach. It just seems like you're shooting Uncle Sam in the back of the head.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
but it's like, but then what happened? We lost the great Lindy Ruff.
Who he loves.
I love Lindy Ruff. Are you kidding me, dude?
We didn't even get the silver. I like Lindy Ruff, too. I know. Yeah. Come on, man.
Right? And then we lost Laviolette now because Laviolette went to Nashville. There's really no good. I mean, unless you want to say we're going to bring Keenan back from Moscow to yell at him for a year. I mean, there's no good coaches out there unless you got to find a young kid.
Sometimes you got to find someone young, and then they become a great coach.
Yeah. But someone that, you know, I don't think Sid and Gino are like that hard to coach, because I almost think they're too easy to coach, because I wish they would have kicked Blausman in the head a couple times.
Do those two push each other, Sid and Gino?
I think they're too friendly.
Yeah. I was wondering if they had that competitiveness during practice where they push each other. If you poise the question
like that, I think they're too – I mean, like Jagr and Lemieux, they used to bet cases of wine on who's going to win a scoring title.
Those two were like
– Yeah, right?
Yeah, that you need someone like that. Like,
yeah,
you know, I think the Bulls had Jordan and Pippen constantly beating each other up in practice. You need those two stars to push each other.
I think Gino too easily lets it be Sid's team.
All right, guys, to wrap it up.
A great show!
It was a great show. He was a great guest, Joe.
Oh, thanks,
I love
him.
Thanks.
And
hung out at the beach. I'm like, this guy knows hockey. We're going to bring him in.
No, that's awesome. He's a great guest. And
have some beers again.
And you know, let's go over what we think is going to happen next. What's your pick? Kings Ducks or Kings?
I'm going to stick to it. Joe made some good points about the Kings, but you started making me think. Damn, he's right. The Kings do have some people. I'm sticking to my guts though. Hawks in six. Marian Hossa is going to be my X factor.
He's always great.
Yeah, because I think he's been a little quiet. Then he had a nice game yesterday.
He looked good yesterday.
He did look good. Yeah. A couple assists yesterday. So I think – but even to Quick's defense, those goals, other than Taves' last goal, were not easy. What deflection off of Saad. The other was Keith had a crazy bounce on that goal. So, but again, everybody's first to jump on the goalie. So Quick had a good game yesterday, even though three slipped in. And then on the other side, I like the Rangers in five now that Price is out.
Yeah, yeah. Joey?
I'm just saying, I respect the Blackhawks. I just think Kings in seven. I just something about the Kings, man. They just got, and they didn't look that bad yesterday. That's the other thing. They just didn't, for getting 3 hours of sleep.
Playing in Chicago.
Yeah, and the other one, I don't know, the Rangers or whatever.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's
unfortunately, who cares on that series now because Price is out. I'm going Kings 7, even though it's just because I'm a Kings fan. I know those Blackhawks are tough to beat. And then the other series is over, unfortunately.
And I don't think to pick on Crawford either. But, you know, Crawford's going to have
a great goalie.
Yeah, he is. I love him. But I think he's going to give up three or four goals a couple games.
Well, I think
you know
the
what
Kings,
I mean. You know,
the Kings get their scoring going. Look out!
Yeah,
you know,
that's what I think. You know,
Kings scoring bunches.
It's fun. Yeah. It's just at least one of the conferences has like the two best teams going at it. We said all year who's going to be in the Western Finals: Chicago and whoever wins California.
That's what it is.
So we're not getting screwed out of a good hockey.
And it's been a great season. I got to say, I'm impressed. Having started to watch again, I hadn't watched hockey in a long time. I started watching again. Man, I'm impressed with the play. At the level.
This will be like one of our last actual, we can talk about hockey, and then we'll be...
Summertime.
What do we do? Yeah, who's our Hall of Fame, who's been the best player not in the Hall of Fame starting July 1st?
We're going to have Rogie on every show.
Yeah. Then you'll need to talk Boston racism.
That's our stretch.
Yeah.
Joe, thanks so much for joining us, man. We really appreciate it. Great guest.
Plugs, though. Any plugs?
Just follow me on Twitter, @ Joe Kilgallen. That's KILGALLON. JoeKilgallen.com, too. I'm a performer around town, so right check on. Me out.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks again.
And
for
thank you, man.
Yes. Awesome.
Honor and a privilege.
And Joey?
I'll be, the All In Tour backs up again in next week in Cleveland. And then next Tuesday, I'm doing a show for the, I'm doing a show at the Bootleg Theater with Tom Segura and Dana Gould.
Love both those guys.
Yeah, that's
a great show.
Dana Gould's out there. You got to go see Dana
Gould. Yeah, Dana Gould's great. And Tom's good, too.
Yeah, I love Tom Segura, too.
Very, very
Dana
good.
Gould, I remember, he's just right for this. He, like, kind of quit stand-up for a while and just did The Simpsons, and it was like, what a shame. And now he's
back. Guy's a monster.
And now
comic.
He's back doing stand-up. It's just like, wow.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And Segura.
Segura's
no
awesome.
No one's funnier than Segura.
Yeah, very,
he's one of the
very
most,
good.
He's one of the most, when people say, who's a great comic? I don't ever heard of like, Tom Segura.
Tom is a, yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
And this is how crazy the show is in Tom Papa.
Oh,
oh wow.
To me, one of the best comics.
Yeah. I mean, just, it's like, you know, it's just a, it's like,
love that
well,
guy.
How am I on that show?
That's a hell of a show.
I'm bartending
friend.
At the Bootleg
there
Theater.
You go. Yeah. And
the announcements.
And, yeah. And I got my new radio show starting Sunday night, 25th, if you're in the LA area. It's George Lopez, my first guest, and should be a good show.
Oh, that's awesome.
4 till 8 p.m.
The legendary.
On the legendary 95.5 KLOS.
How great is that? I get it.
That is not one of my presets.
Thanks, fellas. I love it. I appreciate it very
much. That's going to be. And remember, more ACDC.
It's a long way to the top, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, Johnny Bench. Everyone, enjoy the playoffs. Thanks for being fans. Thanks for tweeting me. You know, I always do the conversation. And we fuck around back and forth. And our Facebook page, Puck Off Podcast. Thanks, everybody.
Check it out, guys. Thanks for joining us on Puck Off. Good night.